From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, the challenges that the Texas water supply faces even after a soaking spring. We'll start tonight with news from the proposed Texas bullet train. Texas Central Partners introduced a freshly minted CEO today and announced that it's raised $75 million for what could be a multi-billion dollar project. As KERA's Bill Zeebel reports, the train would whisk riders between Dallas and Houston in 90 minutes with a stop near College Station.
Tim Keith says he's not a train guy, but he chaired Mar Terminals, a giant sea container operation, so he gets transportation. Now, moving people on rail instead of goods on ships, the Dallas resident says he's landed his dream job.
I have a chance to promote my home state in a way that I never dreamed of. The challenges of this project are really unique. It requires the right blend of entrepreneurship, of fiscal discipline, of public relations and communications, and I felt my background matched perfectly with the project.
That's because Keith's background also includes heavy doses of international fundraising and investing. He replaces former Harris County Judge Robert Eccles, who remains on the bullet train's board. This project could cost as much as $14 billion. Keith says the $75 million investment announced today is a good sign.
This capital raise is a real boost for us. It actually was oversubscribed, and we ended up raising more capital than we had anticipated.
State Representative Rafael Anchia says the project obviously needs a lot more money to reach the finish line, and fundraising is just one big hurdle. The Dallas Democrat says the other issue is land procurement, right-of-way.
And you saw some of that bubble up during the legislative session where you had some rural representatives say, no, you're not running a train through rural East Texas. We're going to block you. We're going to put up legislative impediments. We were able to get past that, and right-of-way acquisition will continue to be a challenge.
So while Anchia likes this project, he worries others, like Ennis Representative John Ray, will continue working to derail it. Ray's three bills to wreck this train got little traction in the last legislative session. In May, he told KERA he was worried about the small towns and farmers along the route.
The phrase I've been using is it creates a Chinese wall of sorts, and that would really impact landowners as well as future development all along that pathway.
Anchia has faith the bullet train builders will treat the landowners right. He argues this project is a good one.
You have the two major urban centers. You have relatively flat land. You have much of the right-of-way already acquired. I think the growth of this state now, which has been exponential during the last decade, is going to necessitate multiple modes of transportation to get people back and forth.
CEO Tim Keith says if any state needs this project, Texas does.
This is going to drive large amounts of tax revenue. It's going to create tens of thousands of construction jobs for the next 4 years once we start. And also usher in a new high-tech industry that will have permanent jobs with highly skilled employees.
Keith says Texas Central will continue holding public meetings to let people know about the project and now waits for results from a federal study looking into the environmental impact of preferred routes between Dallas, the region around College Station, and Houston. The whole process, he says, could take at least another year. Bill Zeebel, KERA News.
Yesterday, we talked about the end of the Texas drought. Tomorrow, attention turns to how much water the state will need in the coming years. The Texas Water Development Board votes on loans for water supply projects. 9 of the 21 applications come from North Texas. Jeff Walker with the agency told KERA's Sam Baker the projects range from a six-figure wastewater system improvement to a $440 million pipeline project.
The latter project is a joint project between the Tarrant Regional Water District and the City of Dallas for integrated pipeline. Eventually, that pipeline will reach to Lake Palestine in the east and bring water to the Metroplex area in the west, which is a large pipeline project. But we also have the City of Bedford and the City of Fort Worth that are doing conservation projects. And then we've got the City of Tom Bean up in Grayson County, which is doing a little well. So North Texas Municipal Water District is continuing the development of the Lower Bodark Reservoir.
Okay.
And then Upper Trinity Regional Water District is continuing the development of the Lake Ralph Hall Reservoir. Reservoirs have kind of fallen off favor for quite a while now, and now they're starting to come back.
Why is that?
It just became so difficult for permitting, and we had built enough reservoirs, we thought, for a while, but with the growth in the state, some places there aren't other options. You need to capture surface water.
How do these projects help address the state's water needs?
Every water user group determines, based on population and need, how much water they're going to need for the next 5 decades, and then the regional groups go through and figure out where that water could come from. For example, City of Fort Worth has a need, and they're doing a project right now with us. It's a conservation project. So instead of going out and getting new water, they're going to conserve more of the water they've got. They may have multiple strategies, but that's one of the strategies they're going to fund with us right now.
Right now, the state is out of drought, but what does that do for overall water needs in Texas?
It just allows the people to use the water they've got. I mean, some places were in deep drought, and so they had to cut way back, and so that hurts economies, it hurts sales tax, it hurts revenues. So now they are at least back to where they were because they've got enough water to sell.
Jeff Walker, thank you so much for being with me.
You bet.
Jeff Walker is an administrator with the Texas Water Development Board. And on Think Today, Chris Boyd focused on the enduring appeal of the whodunit, specifically crime novels written by Kathy Reichs. Her mysteries and the TV show they're based on, called Bones, feature a crime-solving forensic anthropologist. That happens to be Reichs' real-life job, too. She talked about how the basic formula has largely remained the same.
The only difference today in the type of thing I write is that the solutions to the murders are driven by science rather than intuitive thinking or police legwork, that kind of thing. I think murder is the ultimate evil that you can do. You take away someone's life, and I think people are fascinated with that, why people do it, and then how do you right the wrong that's been done. I think murder mysteries are kind of like a puzzle for readers. Can I figure this out before the author tells me the ending, who did it? So I think they enjoy it for that reason. And I think it's the author's job to keep the reader guessing and to be clever enough with red herrings and plot twists, as long as you explain everything and it makes sense and you're not relying on coincidence, to surprise the reader at the end. And I know when I read a murder mystery or a thriller, if I do figure it out before the end, I'm disappointed
right. In
the author. I'm proud of myself, of course, but I'm disappointed in the author.
Reich's latest book is called Speaking in Bones. She'll talk about it tonight at 7 at the North Richland Hills Public Library. Think re-airs at 9, or you can listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. For the evening, mostly clear skies with a low around 79. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high near 99, and tomorrow night mostly clear with a low near 78. It's currently 97 degrees in Dallas, 98 in Fort Worth, 96 in Tyler, and 98 in Wichita Falls. From the KERA newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.